On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Marcus Barrahall here. I will take you through the Nets' loss to the San Antonio Spurs. I'll also break down the David Nwaba injury and what it means, plus who the Nets could consider to replace Nwaba on the roster. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Nets podcast. My name is Marcus Barrahall. Good to be back on the pod. This is going to be a solo show. Josh has been busy with work, but he will be back on the next podcast. We're actually we're seeing Uncut Gems together later this weekend, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit on the next pod. That's the new Adam Sandler movie. They're not sponsoring this. I'm just bringing it up because I'm excited to see a movie with him. That'll be good. But something that wasn't good was the Nets' recent game against the San Antonio Spurs. The Nets lost 118-105 in San Antonio, continuing their losing streak in the Alamo City. I think that's a nickname for San Antonio. The Nets lost there again. They haven't won there in the regular season in almost 20 years. I believe it's been over 15 years in the playoffs, too, dating back to that final series that they had against San Antonio. But yes, this was a tough loss. The Nets seemed like they were in control of the game, looked like they were maybe gonna pull away and have a comfortable, easy win. But being that this is the Brooklyn Nets of 2019-20, that could not be the case. They love to make things difficult. Either when they go up, they blow the lead. When they're behind, they fight back, only to have it be painful. So they started to blow the lead towards the end of the second quarter. The Spurs went on a little run. But then it seemed like Brooklyn had maybe sort of kind of steadied the ship and were keeping San Antonio at bay in that like 5 to 10 point lead kind of range. And then things just went absolutely haywire late in the third quarter and into the early fourth. San Antonio actually mounted a 19-0 run stretching across the end of the third and the start of the fourth. That was fueled by a combination of things. It started off with Jakob Poeltl playing really well and kind of, I don't want to say destroying because he only had 4 points and 5 rebounds, but he seemed like he was really outplaying DeAndre Jordan for the Brooklyn Nets off the bench. And that kind of gave San Antonio some momentum. And then there was the terribly unfortunate David Nwaba injury, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. And things just kind of spiraled from there. Patty Mills came back in. LaMarcus Aldridge came back in. Aldridge was hitting every 18-footer he took, and Patty Mills just couldn't miss. He was splashing in threes, and then that, of course, made the defense play up on him. He had a nice drive at the end of the third quarter to put the Spurs finally in front, 83-81, where he just blew right by, gave a nice ball fake as he was getting close to the basket and laid it in pretty much uncontested. Mills was phenomenal in this game, especially late off the bench for the Spurs. He had 27 points, was 7 of 10 from 3. So, yeah, it was a situation where, yes, the Nets were going up against a guy who got, like, abnormally hot in Patty Mills, and part of that, you kind of have to tip your cap and say, like, yeah, if he's going to splash these threes over and over again, like, there's not much we can do. But on the other hand, Brooklyn didn't do itself any favors, especially on the offensive end. Spencer Dinwiddie, another phenomenal game, 41 points on just 29 shots. Also dished out 5 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, but he was clearly not the problem. He was so good in this game and was really the only Net who could create his own shot, which has been the case over these last couple games. Even in Nets wins, it's like it's because they're making their shots when they do win. So in this one, a game where Garrett Temple, once again, 2 for 12, from the field, 2 of 10 from 3, a poor shooting game for him again. Torian Prince's cold streak continued, 0 for 5 from 3, 3 for 9 from the field. Those two guys, like, you need at least one of them to show up. Joe Harris was fine in this one. He didn't have a great game, but he wasn't terrible. Jared Allen played really well. My one complaint from Kenny would have probably been to try to play Jared Allen a little bit more, or at least to insert him back into the lineup earlier than he did. DeAndre just looked so washed. There was that play in transition where I think it was Derek White was just like racing down court. DeAndre was the last line of defense, which is what you want. You know, DeAndre's been a very good defender at points in his career. He's a guy who gets up for big blocks, and the thought of Derek White just kind of blowing right past him is not something that would have occurred in DeAndre's prime. He's just so clearly past that point now, and Derek White did blow right past DeAndre Jordan, got all the way to the basket for a dunk. The Nets called timeout, and that play just kind of showed, like, DJ, I don't know if he's maybe thinking that he's better than he is athletically, like if he thinks he's still what he once was physically, because he was back on his heels and he's just not fast enough to get to block those shots like he used to. So if I were Kenny, I would play Jared Allen more. He played 30 minutes in this game, 19 points, 13 rebounds, 7 of 10 from the field. He's been really good in this stretch without Kyrie Irving. And I get the concerns about wear and tear and about his kind of long-term health, just because he's never been a guy who's played a ton of minutes. Like, even in his best games, he's playing, like, at most, like he did in this game, 30, 32 minutes. But even still, I think that you need to get a guy like that involved, especially with how shorthanded the Nets are. And, you know, they need to bank these wins now so that they don't have to dig themselves out of a hole later in the season. They're 15-13, which is, it's fine. That's a 44-win pace over the course of the season. Josh and I expected them to win. I think the final number that I picked was 46, somewhere in that like 45 to 48 win range. So they're not too far off that, especially given the injuries they've had, losing Kyrie for as long as they have, losing Karis for as long as they have. Like, I would have expected them to be a lot worse if you had told me that at the start of the season. And for them to be 15-13 is definitely a testament to Spencer Dinwiddie first and foremost, but also to guys like Joe Harris and Jared Allen for stepping up and for keeping the team afloat with those guys out. And yet, 15-13, the Nets seem kind of locked into that 7 seed, which is crazy to say in mid-December, but I mean, they're 4 games back of Indiana. They're 3 games clear of Orlando, the 6 and 8 seeds right now, respectively. And unless Brooklyn gets red hot or ice cold, they're probably not going to be caught by Orlando, but they also, it's hard to see them jumping into that top 6. So they do feel like the 7th best team in the East right now, and that's kind of where I would expect them to be going forward. But getting back to the game itself, I think the biggest problem for the Nets right now is that they don't really have a creator, a ball handler, besides Spencer Dinwiddie. They're playing Garrett Temple as basically the backup point guard and kind of staggering him and Spencer just so that one of them is always on the court as the lead ball handler. And when Temple's hitting his shots, that's fine. They use him and Wilson Chandler too a little bit. He's already getting like a ton of run and responsibility, like after coming back from the suspension. It's good to see him get worked in, and I do think he's going to be a really useful piece as the season progresses, but the Nets need more help at point guard, and hopefully that comes with Kyrie Irving returning soon, but it doesn't seem very clear when he's going to come back. It seems like Caris LeVert might have actually passed him in the rehab stage, and I expect Caris to come back before Kyrie at this point, so maybe he's the guy who can take over that role that Temple's been playing as the de facto backup point guard, because Pinson's obviously out of the rotation now. Musa has been swapped out for TLC, which seems like, I was very frustrated with Luau Cabarrot in this game. He played 22 minutes, was 0 for 5, 3 fouls in those 22 minutes. He was just kind of lost, and they were using him as like a key defender a lot of times, like an on-ball defender, which is fine, but he's just such a zero on offense, and the Nets are just spread so thin right now, and that's why this Nwaba injury couldn't have come at a worse time. I'm seeing like some reports that they might try to file for a disabled player exception, which would open up a roster spot that they could maybe use to bring back Iman Shumpert, who played well in his run with Brooklyn and was let go when Chandler came back from the suspension about a week ago, as Bobby Shmurda would say. So hopefully, if that doesn't happen, the Nets find some way to replace Nwaba and to replace the minutes that he was giving them, because right now the team is so thin that, like, you've got the five starters who all should be playing as much as possible. Prince, Allen, Dinwiddie, Temple, Harris. And then you've got a guy like Chandler off the bench who's been solid. DJ, as much as he frustrates me and as much as I think he's washed, he should be playing some minutes. But then after that, after those seven guys, it becomes TLC. Nwaba's now out, so maybe Musa gets those minutes. Maybe Pinson reenters the rotation. Or maybe Kenny turns to a guy like Rhodey Kurucs, who has kind of been tossed aside throughout this season. He obviously played so well last year, way above any expectations that anyone had for him, and he has just been a complete disaster this season. When he's been on the court, he's been chaotic, he's been out of control, he's been kind of forcing things and getting into little like arguments and fights with the opposition. Just, he seems distracted. Obviously there's that whole situation off the court, which Josh and I have talked about in the past, no need to get into it again. But he doesn't look locked in when he does play. So maybe Kenny gives him another chance to see if he can make something happen, because they're running out of options unless Kyrie or Karis comes back soon, which hopefully they do. Karis is near the end of that initial 4 to 6 week window. I believe he's about 5 weeks into that as of this recording. So ideally he's back within the week and this isn't a huge problem, and you give those minutes that Nwaba was getting to Karis and then kind of buy more time until Kyrie's back. Then you can bump TLC from the rotation. And then you've got like a nice 9-man rotation of, in no particular order, Prince, Allen, Dinwiddie, Temple, Harris, Chandler, Kyrie, Karis, and DeAndre Jordan. And that's kind of the 9 that I would roll with. And then maybe if Rhodey can step up his level of play, maybe earn Kenny's trust back, he can be that 10th guy that enters the rotation. But regardless, Brooklyn's definitely in some trouble with this Nwaba injury. I would personally love to see Shumpert come back. There's been nothing immediate on that front as of this recording, but I think that would make the most sense. He was very well liked by the team. I remember seeing a tweet. I can't remember the exact record, but it was like the Nets are something like 9-5 or whatever since adding him on Shumpert. Spencer Dinwiddie retweeted that, basically like indicating like, yeah, Shumpert's been a big plus to the team. He's been helping on and off the court. So I would love to see him come back. I think he was a great addition to Brooklyn while he was there. I think that makes the most sense. But going forward, if they don't get him back, it's going to have to be a guy like Kurucs who steps up. Maybe Jean and Musa gets yet another chance. Maybe Pinson gets another chance. There's also still room for Kenny to bump up the starters' minutes. Dinwiddie and Temple played 34 in this game, which is kind of the max that I would want them to play. Maybe you bump that up to like 36, but even still. But then, like I said, Jared Allen could play a little more. Joe Harris, only 29 minutes in this game. Obviously, it's all game flow dependent, but I think you could definitely see Joe playing closer to 33, 34, like Dinwiddie and Temple are, with those guys out, and maybe playing more of the shooting guard position as opposed to the 3 that he's been playing and that he was playing earlier in the season when it was Kyrie and LeVert sharing the backcourt. Maybe you slide Joe to the 2 more, and then you play more lineups of like Dinwiddie or Temple as the point guard, and then Harris, Prince, and Chandler as like a ultra switchy 2 through 4 along with the center. I think that's probably the type of lineup that I would want to see more. I don't like what they were doing and what Kenny was doing at the end of that game. And obviously things were kind of sprung on him because of that Nwaba injury, but he was playing TLC at the 2 a lot in the fourth quarter. And I think it makes way more sense to play Joe at the 2 position and then play Prince and Chandler together. Again, this all relies on Prince and Temple, at least one of them being able to hit shots. They can't go 2 for 15 from 3 like they did in this game. They can't shoot 5 for 21 from the field like they did in this game. And Temple, to his credit, he's being asked to do way more, I'm sure, than he expected, and he's definitely been like a great leader and locker room presence. It's just that like he's in way over his head right now. He should definitely not be a guy who's like bringing the ball up the court and orchestrating the offense. Like, the fact that this team is 15-13 is both positively surprising and negatively surprising, because I think Josh and I both thought that this was a team that could make it to the second round, that could, you know, make all this noise before they get Kevin Durant back next season. And it seems like that's not going to happen. Obviously, it's still early. Things can definitely change. The trade deadline still hasn't even happened yet. The All-Star game hasn't happened yet. We're not even at Christmas Day. So this is probably premature, but it's definitely disappointing when you consider what we thought this team could be in the preseason. But at the same time, like I said, this is also kind of a positive that the Nets have lost Kyrie Irving, they lost Caris LeVert, the two guys who were their consensus best players coming into the season, and yet they're over 500. They're on pace to win 44 games and get into the playoffs pretty comfortably. So if they get those guys back, if they can work them in, if they can keep Spencer Dinwiddie clicking as much as he has been over these last few games, and then also work in Kyrie and Caris, and have all three of those guys going like they never quite could when it was D'Lo, Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert. It kind of felt like there was always one or two of those guys who was playing well at a time. If you can get all three of these guys to be clicking at once, like that backcourt depth is going to really play a factor, because not a lot of teams have the kind of guys coming off the bench like the Nets would, because regardless of who it is, I think Dinwiddie has kind of earned the right to start. Like, in that case, you're bringing Caris off the bench, or if they decide to start Caris, you're bringing Dinwiddie off the bench. There's, other than the Clippers with Lou Williams, I can't think of a team that has that good of a ball-handling guard coming off the bench for them, and it's just going to be a huge advantage if they can get all those guys clicking. So hopefully that happens, and hopefully the Nets can get back on track with their next game against the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And luckily for the Nets, the Hawks will be without John Collins, who they have been for the last 24 games. This will be the 25th game of his 25-game PED suspension against Brooklyn. So a close call for the Nets, but they will avoid John Collins. The Hawks are 6-23 on the year. So really it'll be like the Trae Young show, which last time the Nets faced the Hawks, they kind of let Trae go off, and then the Hawks don't really have anyone else who can do anything. So hopefully this is a walk. ESPN's basketball power index gives the Nets about a 4 out of 5 chance of winning. So not sure what that means, not sure how they quantify that, but I definitely think it means that Brooklyn is a big favorite in this game. Hopefully they're able to take care of business and climb back to 3 games over .500, because after that, their next game isn't until the day after Christmas when they play the Knicks. So you'd want to avoid having gone what will essentially be like a week and a half without a win. A lot of days off coming up for the Brooklyn Nets. And then after that, they close out the year against the Rockets and Wolves. So definitely the opportunity is there for the Nets to win at least 3 of those 4 games. Like Atlanta, New York, Minnesota, those are all very winnable. Even the Houston game, they beat Houston earlier this year. So a chance to sweep the season series there, and a chance to get revenge on Minnesota for that opening night overtime loss where Kyrie dropped 50. So hopefully LeVert is able to return, maybe even for that Knicks game since they have 4 days off in between. Hopefully Kyrie is back very soon. Regardless, Josh and I will be in your ears very soon. We'll have more pods coming at you very shortly. Holidays coming up, so we might be busy, but we'll definitely be back to talk to you soon after this Hawks game. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Nets. Follow Josh at JMBass_. I am at Marcus Barahal. Make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff wherever you get your podcasts. I know Josh loves to shout out Podbean. Not really sure what that is. Not sure if anyone uses it, but shout out to Podbean. Maybe you want to use that to get your podcasts. Yeah, we'll be back in your ears very shortly. Until next time, be well. Bye.